She turned to Harry. You don't think you've still got your trace on you, do you, Harry?
He can't have, said Ron. The trace breaks at 17. That's wizarding law. You can't put it on an adult.
As far as you know, said Hermione. What if the Death Eaters have found a way to put it on a 17-year-old?
But Harry hasn't been near a Death Eater in the last 24 hours. Who's supposed to have put a trace back on him?
Hermione did not reply. Harry felt contaminated, tainted. Was that really how the Death Eaters had found them? If I can't use magic and you can't use magic near me without us giving away our position, he began.
We're not splitting up, said Hermione firmly. We need a safe place to hide, said Ron. Give us time to think things through.
Grimmauld Place, said Harry. The other two gaped.
Don't be silly, Harry. Snape can get in there.
Ron's dad said they've put up jinxes against him, and even if they haven't worked, he pressed on as Hermione began to argue. So what? I swear I'd like nothing better than to meet Snape.
But,
Hermione, where else is there? It's the best chance we've got. Snape's only one Death Eater. If I've still got the trace on me, we'll have whole crowds of them on us wherever else we go. She could not argue, though she looked as if she would have liked to. While she unlocked the cafe door, Ron clicked the deluminator to release the cafe's light. Then, on Harry's count of three, they reversed the spells upon their three victims, and before the waitress or either of the Death Eaters could do more than stir sleepily, Harry, Ron, and Hermione had turned on the spot and vanished into the compressing darkness once more. Seconds later, Harry's lungs expanded gratefully, and he opened his eyes. They were now standing in the middle of a familiar small and shabby square. Tall, dilapidated houses looked down on them from every side. Number 12 was visible to them, for they had been told of its existence by Dumbledore, its secret keeper, and they rushed toward it, checking every few yards that they were not being followed or observed. They raced up the stone steps, and Harry tapped the front door once with his wand. They heard a series of metallic clicks and the clatter of a chain. Then the door swung open with a creak, and they hurried over the threshold. As Harry closed the door behind them, the old-fashioned gas lamps sprang into life, casting flickering light along the length of the hallway. It looked just as Harry remembered it. Eerie, cobwebbed, the outlines of the house elf heads on the wall throwing odd shadows up the staircase. Long, dark curtains concealed the portrait of Sirius's mother. The only thing that was out of place was the troll's leg umbrella stand, which was lying on its side as if Tonks had just knocked it over again.
I think somebody's been in here,
Hermione whispered, pointing toward it.
That could have happened as the order left,
Ron murmured back.
So where are these jinxes they put up against Snape?
Harry asked.
Maybe they're only activated if he shows up,
suggested Ron. Yet they remained close together on the doormat, backs against the door, scared to move farther into the house.
Well, we can't stay here forever, said Harry, and he took a step forward. Severus Snape?
Mad-Eye Moody's voice whispered out of the darkness, making all three of them jump back in fright.
We're not Snape,
croaked Harry, before something whooshed over him like cold air, and his tongue curled backward on itself, making it impossible to speak. Before he had time to feel inside his mouth, however, his tongue had unravelled again. The other two seemed to have experienced the same unpleasant sensation. Ron was making retching noises. Hermione stammered.
That must have been the tongue-tying curse Mad-Eye set up for Snape.
Gingerly, Harry took another step forward. Something shifted in the shadows at the end of the hall, and before any of them could say another word, a figure had risen up out of the carpet. Tall, dust-coloured, and terrible. Hermione screamed, and so did Mrs. Black, her curtains flying open. The grey figure was gliding toward them, faster and faster, its waist-length hair and beard streaming behind it, its face sunken, fleshless, with empty eye sockets. Horribly familiar, dreadfully altered, it raised a wasted arm, pointing at Harry.